the false convert, who has resulted from no true repentance, has been the common label placed on certain people who backslide. But too often, it is only a ruse to conceal a distorted grace teaching, one which is really a license to sin. That is important to know, but there is also much more on this topic to note. Let's go to Brother Dan Corner of evangelicaloutreach.org and see what he has for us. You can contact Evangelical Outreach by phoning 724-632-3210.
Let's examine the false converts term. We hear it from time to time. A false convert is supposed to be a religious person who never repented but only had the faith of demons, or some would say only a superficial decision for Christ was made. Such could even include a backslider, according to those sources. The false convert teaching is based on the aberrant belief that others cannot identify an unsaved religious person, which is glaringly unscriptural. Remember this basic to Christianity truth, 1 John 3:10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Scripture clearly says that we can know the child of God and the child of the devil. We don't have to wonder about it. We can know in the present time if we consider those checkpoints as cited in 1 John 3:10 about one's behavior. The concept that one who professed salvation but never possessed salvation and couldn't be identified as a child of the devil, as we've all heard, is wrongly taught in our day and has been connected with Jesus' wheat and tares teaching, the parable of the sower, the five foolish virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins, and some backsliders, but not all backsliders, depending on the audience. Some specific examples of so-called false converts in Scripture, according to those sources, are Judas Iscariot, Demas, and Simon of Samaria in Acts chapter 8. The false convert, or never saved to begin with label, is directly connected to the teaching of once saved, always saved. It is their primary attempt to conceal the obvious license for immorality that is generated by their own eternal security doctrine. It is only used at select times and under certain circumstances, but especially as a comeback answer with Christians who oppose once saved, always saved, and declare it to be a license to sin. If you know the biblical message, you know there are not two types of drunks, two types of adulterers, two types of thieves, etc. Such immoral people are always spiritually lost. Never are such people considered righteous in Scripture. Simon of Samaria is taught as the first false convert in Acts. Listen to John MacArthur teach he didn't have the faith in Jesus that saves.
An illustration that is very important and telling and far-reaching, because Simon illustrates for us the faith that does not save. The faith that does not save.
So folks, is that true? Was Simon of Samaria of Acts chapter 8 really a false convert without saving faith at any point? Let's look at the biblical evidence. Acts chapter 8 verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw." The Bible clearly states that Simon himself believed. It is crystal clear. At that point in time, Simon was a believer who got Christian baptized. Simon heard the same salvation teaching from Philip that the others in Samaria heard. Simon also was water baptized after having the same kind of belief or faith that the others had, who were also baptized due to Philip's preaching. Folks, Christian baptism is only administered after one gets saved. Since we can recognize who is saved or who is not saved based on 1 John 3:10, then we must therefore conclude the scriptural evidence convincingly declares that Simon of Samaria was saved at that early point. Simon himself believed. That settles it. The problem isn't with the clarity of that, but with what the popular teachers are trying to make it say. It is what happened later after Simon's salvation that causes some to say Simon was nothing more than a false convert all along. So what was that? Simon wanted to buy with money the spiritual ability that Peter and John had, so he too could lay hands on anyone he wanted, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from him. That caused Peter to say to Simon, at that point in time, from Acts chapter 8, 20 through 23, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." So after the point that Simon of Samaria believed and had the faith in the Lord needed to be Christian baptized, he sadly became full of bitterness and captive to sin. His heart was no longer righteous before God. Peter could tell it, and he told him to repent. Folks, that is what the Bible says and shows what can happen to real Christians and fast, may I add. Therefore, we must be on guard. So because Peter told Simon he needs to repent because his heart was no longer right before God, some wrongly conclude Simon was always a false convert, but they do that in error. The same people never even imply that Solomon, when he turned to idolatry, or King David, when he backslid into adultery and murder, were false converts all along, because at that low point in their life, their heart was not right with God. If such teachers simply taught the biblical evidence, they would have to admit Simon of Samaria lost his salvation, because by the time that Peter came, his heart was no longer right before God, thereby refuting their once saved, always saved doctrine. Sadly, too many seem unwilling to just teach what the Bible says, and they do that to their own harm and the harm of their faithful listeners. Also, directly taught as being connected to the false convert teaching is Jesus' weed and tares teaching. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe taught about that.
Tares were weeds that looked like wheat until the harvest, then you could tell the difference.
Again, is that really what God's word says? Let's see. Matthew chapter 13, 26 and 27. "When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?'" Did you notice what the servant said? Again, they asked, "Where then did the weeds come from?" Bible truth forces us to conclude the weed and tares did not appear to be the same, even long before the harvest. The servants could tell the difference between the two right away. So again, folks, what are you going to believe? Jesus taught it was quickly when the weeds first appeared, and the servants knew they were weeds and not wheat. So why then do so many teach they can't tell the weeds from the wheat? It's only because they want us to think both saved and unsaved are acting the same way, at least at times. Hence, the religious false convert cannot be readily identified, even though he's a child of the devil. That is horrible, and the ramifications are far-reaching and destructive. By the way, Matthew 13, 41 and 42 refers to the tares and is given just after Jesus' explanation. Listen to this. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So the tares, or weeds, will be weeded out of the kingdom, and they are people causing sin and doing evil. And that lines up with 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, which I gave earlier. Here it is again. "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Remember, we can know who is a Christian and who isn't, just like we can tell the weeds from the wheat. That alone destroys the false convert, never saved to begin with, illusion that eternal security teachers want us to believe, and that is that you can't identify them. You can't tell the true convert from the false convert. The truth is, one's behavior does reflect his present tense faith, if it is saving or not. James taught, chapter 2, verse 18, "I will show you my faith by what I do." Man reveals his own faith to others, one that saves or one that doesn't. Do you remember Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis? The apostle John wrote, 1 John 3, verse 12, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." Now getting back to Jesus' wheat and tare teaching, Jesus taught, Matthew 13, 38, "The field is the world, the good seed stand for the sons of the kingdom, the weeds are the sons of the evil one." Cain belonged to the evil one, just like the tares in Jesus' teaching, Matthew 13, 38. Religious Cain was the first tare and was easily distinguished from Abel and before the harvest, which is at the end of the age, according to Matthew 13, 49 and 50. So why did the owner in Jesus' wheat and tare teaching tell his servants not to pull the weeds up in Matthew 13, 29? Clearly, it wasn't because they could not identify them, but it was, it says, because they may root up the wheat with the weeds. We have a tiny garden. Just recently, I pulled some weeds, and in doing so, I uprooted some Swiss chard that we planted. The roots were so close to one another, when I pulled up the weeds, the Swiss chard came up too. Though I could easily identify the Swiss chard from the weeds. That's just like Jesus' teaching. Let's move on. Have you ever heard, if you backslide, you were never saved to begin with lie? Listen to what Todd Friel from Wretched said.
Somewhere between 60 and 80% of kids who run off to university who have made some sort of profession of faith backslide, which means they never slid forward in the first place.
That is almost exactly what Ray Comfort teaches. Listen to this.
Folks, this is going to sound a little radical, but if someone is soundly saved, he will never fall away.
Think about it, friends. If backsliding and falling away proves one was a false convert all along, then you can't ever know if anyone is saved in the present time. For once saved, always saved, to attempt to cover up their license for immorality with their false convert message is both a contradiction to their own teaching about the sin unto death and extremely absurd and foreign to the biblical message. Folks, the Apostle Peter fell away over the fear of persecution, and he certainly was a true convert before that happened. How Ray Comfort or any eternal security teacher can say if someone is saved, they'll never fall away is a blatant and obvious contradiction of what Jesus taught. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Peter disowned Jesus three times. That is how he fell away, and it happened very quickly that same night that Jesus spoke. The Bible has dozens of examples of people who fell away after their salvation. Be assured that there is observable evidence of saving grace and that the early church knew who was saved and who wasn't. Again, there is conspicuous, noticeable evidence of saving grace. Acts 11:23. But he, Barnabas, arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. When a Christian widow turned from God in the early church, did they say such a person was a false convert? 1 Timothy 5:6 says, "But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives." Green translates that verse, "But she who lives in self-pleasure has died while living." Christian widows younger than 60 would be in grave danger of having their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ by wanting to marry after they took their first pledge. Note, 1 Timothy 5:11 says they had a dedication to Christ, but then Paul wrote of the same, and he stated this, 1 Timothy 5:15. Some, referring to those widows, have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. So they started to follow Satan, but previously had a dedication to Christ based on Scripture. They horribly backslid and fell away. Todd Friel and Ray Comfort are wrong based on that and other scriptures. Paul never said those widows were false converts who were never saved.
The chief way, based on Scripture, to know an unsaved man, one who was never saved, or one who has backslidden and died spiritually, is to find out about his present tense behavior. The Apostle John wrote of such in 1 John 3:10. "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Let's return now to Brother Dan.
Did you know the Lord taught three times that he himself would say to people, "I don't know you"? Matthew 25, 12, Luke 13, 25, and Luke 13, 27. And only one time he says, "I never knew you." Matthew 7, 23. That verse says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." The eternal security teachers focus on that one time in Matthew 7, 23, but never mention that the same ones Jesus said he never knew were continuous tense evildoers. Those people were religious, but their behavior was evil continuously. They were never saved and were slaves to sin. Folks, the saints are righteous and holy people who have been delivered and set free from their sin addictions, unlike the lost, who are present tense slaves of sin. The righteous are slaves to God and slaves to righteousness, according to Romans chapter 6. The truth is, the lost can be people who were never born again, or people who were once saved and afterwards died spiritually by turning to sin or certain false doctrine. If they return to God through repentance, that's great. But while backslid, they were on the road to hell as a lost person. All people who are presently committing adultery, homosexuality, stealing, getting drunk, lying, doing witchcraft, slandering, and the like are spiritually lost. If they were ever saved or not, that is secondary to the fact that they presently are lost and need to repent for salvation's sake. Christians follow Jesus and are doing the will of God. 1 John 2:4 says, "The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's clear, but so is this. Matthew 7:20, "By their fruit you will know them." We can know the child of the devil from the Christian according to Scripture. The eternal security false convert teachers have people departing from the faith who were never in the faith and falling from grace that were never in grace. Ask yourself this question: could you fall from the roof of your house if you were never on the roof to begin with? The Lord's apostles taught that one's present tense behavior would identify a person at that time as a child of God or a child of the devil. Since that is what the early Christians believed and openly taught, that is also what we Christians today better believe and teach, or we are in trouble with God as well as being a spiritual snare to others. Besides all that, here we have Greg Laurie, who taught this.
Can a Christian lose their salvation? My answer: I don't know. It seems doubtful.
Folks, why doesn't Greg Laurie know if a Christian can lose his salvation? The evidence is overwhelming. Yes, a Christian can die spiritually and get back on the road to hell again as the prodigal did. Luke 15:24. "My son was dead, he's alive again." Notice it says alive again. "Was lost and is found." So he became alive again after he repented. But what Greg Laurie said there is related to what he said here about identifying a false convert or a non-believer. Listen to this.
So here's how to tell if a person is a believer or not a believer. A believer, even when they go astray, will always come home again to the Lord, and a non-believer won't. So the big question that comes up is, how do they end up?
From that, according to Greg Laurie, it is impossible to tell a child of God from the child of the devil in the present time. Like many others, Greg Laurie would have to reject 1 John 3:10 and that we can know them now by their fruit, and in contrast, has come up with a strange and fabricated way to identify a true convert from a false convert, which is protective of the once saved, always saved false doctrine. Also, there is no scripture that he can use in context to back that up. If we believe what he taught, we could never tell if anyone is a true believer in the present time, because when he falls away in the future, he might never return to God. But if he does return in the end, he was a true believer, even when he was in vile wickedness before he repented. That's what they want us to believe.
A believer, even when they go astray, will always come home again to the Lord, and a non-believer won't. So the big question that comes up is, how do they end up?
Returning to God after backsliding is the key to know a person's spiritual identity according to him. How did they end up is what he said. That's what needs to be known based on their faulty theology. The problem for many of these teachers is their once saved, always saved, eternal security theology will not allow them to teach as the apostles did, that our present tense behavior does identify a person as a Christian or a non-Christian. 1 John 3:7 and 8. "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil." Besides that, we have this powerfully clear description of a real Christian. Romans 6:22. "But now that you have been set free from your sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." That verse says, as other scriptures do, that the saints are set free from sin. But in contrast, Galatians 3:22 says, the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So false converts are prisoners to sin, and true converts can backslide and get overcome by sin again, as Peter wrote, 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. I'll cite that scripture in a few minutes. Why is this issue so important to know? Because it is only through the blood of Jesus that we are set free from our sin addictions. Revelation 1:5 says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our own sins by his blood. A non-believer never contacts Jesus' blood and remains a slave to sin. It should now be apparent why the false convert with his demon faith is not similar or almost identical and unrecognizable to the true Christian with the saving faith, which obeys Jesus and has been set free from his sin addictions. Folks, we have been fed horrible and poisonous theology from some very powerful platforms which need to be rejected and opposed by Christians. The truth is, unlike what we've been taught, false converts can be recognized, and the true Christians can actually fall away and lose their soul. The saved can get back on the road to hell again. Such can and will die spiritually if they turn to evil. That is an ever-present major danger that all Christians face. Don't deny it, even if it destroys your theology. Denying that truth won't change it. First and foremost, protect your own soul. Souls are much more important than embracing false doctrine and the approval of man, even if your ministry becomes unpopular. Scripture teaches a saving faith can die. A believer can stop believing and become an unbeliever. An obedient saint with a saving faith can backslide and become unrighteous, vile, wicked, and disobedient. He can become lukewarm, forsake his first love. He can become unfruitful, unforgiving, and even hateful, among other horrible things. Not only can a Christian backslide, many have. Some Christians who have backslid have returned to their salvation as a prodigal did, while others have not and died lost. If a backslider returns to God or not, when backslidden, he is lost in his adultery, drunkenness, theft, hate, greed, idolatry, etc. Peter wrote about backsliding here. Listen carefully. Here's the verse I mentioned before that I would cite. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command which was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22. God in his great mercy will receive back the repentant backslider as he took Peter back after he disowned Jesus 3 times and fell away. So if a professing Christian backslides and falls away, that doesn't mean he was a false convert who was never saved, as some say. Remember that. David, Solomon, Peter all backslid, yet they all definitely had a true saving faith before they did. They had been soundly saved before that happened. Ezekiel 33:18 says, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. The sure result of turning to evil is dying spiritually based on that scripture. Be sure of this. Never in the Bible does it say that when somebody fell away, turned away, went astray, fell from grace and the like, that such was a false convert who could not be recognized. Never. Matthew 7:21-23 refers to those who were never saved, but the same people were continuous tense evildoers, which means that could be observed. 1 John 2:19-22. The ones who departed from John also denied Jesus was the Christ. It was apparent they were never saved by their antichrist confession, denying Jesus was the Christ, according to verse 22. But all of those who misuse 1 John 2:19 to teach their false convert message overlook those details and never point out the lethal spiritual danger John mentioned just several verses later. 1 John 2:24 26, written to Christians. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. The danger in that passage was false teachers who denied Jesus was the Christ. Those false teachers were trying to lead the Christians astray. For the Christians to remain in Christ and receive the promised eternal life, they would have to continue to believe what they were taught from the apostles, unlike what the false teachers were saying. It was their choice and their responsibility to believe a certain way. Folks, the tares are known from the wheat, and we can know the child of God from the child of the devil. When the once saved, always saved doctrine gets exposed as a counterfeit security and sin gospel by its inference that there are Christian adulterers, Christian drunks, Christian thieves, etc., most once saved, always saved proponents then tend to mention the contradictory, inconsistent, double message, the never saved or false convert absurdity for defense. They want us to believe if one gets soundly saved, he's saved forever, but you can't really tell in the present time if one is saved or not. Maybe the preachers themselves who are proclaiming the false convert message based on their own teaching are nothing more than a false convert because in the future they might fall away. But wait, what is this false conversion stuff? Once saved, always saved declares one can backslide, fall away into heinous sin, and they are true converts. Listen to Calvinist John MacArthur teach that about the sin unto death.
It isn't a specific sin. In reality, it is whatever sin leads to death. And there is no specific sin that could actually cause God Himself, the Lord, to take the life of a believer, but that's what it's talking about. That passage refers to believers, and it refers to physical death, not spiritual death. And what it says is that a believer can commit a sin which will cause the Lord to just take him to heaven. He doesn't go to hell, he goes to heaven.
So the same one who teaches that Simon was a false convert only teaches like that sometimes, because at other times he and others would teach one can stray into sin so serious it is better for God to strike them dead, to remove them from the church, and such an unrepentant person goes to heaven. Thus, that person was a true convert all along, even though he didn't ever return to God in the end through repentance from his very serious sins. Confusion and contradiction reigns among the once saved, always saved, eternal security teachers. The truth is, the false convert message is only a facade, smokescreen, an unscriptural disguise used sometimes to divert attention away from their counterfeit grace message and deny specific biblical examples of people who lost their salvation by turning to follow Satan. By the way, here's Ray Comfort again as he presents true converts as the ones who breathe out murderous threats, stop Christians from praying, and cause some of them to fall away.
The story was told of two Russian guards that burst into a prayer meeting. They were fully armed. They said, "If you're not prepared to die for your faith, get out of here." And half those professing Christians left. When the doors were closed, they put their guns down, they got their Bibles out, and they said, "We're believers, but we didn't want to risk fellowship until we sorted out the sheep from the goats."
The Russian guards acting that way are supposed to be true converts, not false converts, according to Ray Comfort. That's even more confusion and poison. Holy living is associated with embracing true doctrine, while false doctrine breeds immorality. Let's do a quick review. We can know if one is a child of God or a child of the devil by his present tense behavior, and that biblical truth undercuts the false convert never saved to begin with the eternal security doctrine itself, that such cannot be identified. The tares do not look like wheat in Jesus' teaching. Simon of Samaria was not always a lost person. Christians followed Jesus and have turned away from their sins. Backsliders in the Bible and in our day have been tempted away from their salvation. Remember these things, friends, and tell others too.
Remember, Evangelical Outreach is dedicated to the proclamation and defense of the gospel. To share our fruit, please consider praying for us and donating. Also, tell others about our teachings. Thanks for listening. And remember to make your short life count for God.